The Bethel Deliverance app is now available to download for free at Apple Store and Google Play. You can tune into Sunday services through live stream, view video sermons on demand, listen to audio messages through podcasts, send prayer requests, communicate through social media, and you can contribute to the ministry simply by using today's technology. Get access to all of Bethel's media outlets and church events right at your fingertips. Go to the Apple Store or Google Play and download Bethel Deliverance to get connected today.
If you believe God for a miracle and you know we can do the impossible, shout yeah.
You're listening to the Climbing Higher radio broadcast with Bishop Eric A. Lambert Jr. of Bethel Deliverance International Church, a place where miracles still happen.
In Matthew's gospel, Jesus goes on to this 40-day fast, comes out of the fast, and he's led by the Holy Spirit into the wilderness for the purpose of meeting the devil, to be tempted of the devil. Satan comes to him to challenge him in the three areas of 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 through 17. Pride of life, lust of the eye, lust of the flesh. Command the stone be turned into bread. Throw yourself off this mountain. Fall down and worship me. Pride of life, lust of the eye, lust of the flesh. Jesus successfully defeats the devil. And the Bible says angels come and minister to him, because any spiritual warfare has a physiological impact on your body. Angels come to strengthen him. He then goes out and he teaches this, what we call by theological concepts, the Sermon on the Mount. It's probably his largest sermon. It's not his most meatiest sermon, but it's the largest sermon. And the purpose of this particular sermon in Matthew's gospel is to expose you to the fundamental principles of the kingdom of God. That's the purpose of the Sermon on the Mount. It starts out as everything dealing with God starts out. It starts out with character. Blessed are the boom, 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 booms. Okay, character. So the first thing he teaches us is that the kingdom of God consists of people with character. And that character is causing you to impact others. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are the meek. Blessed are blah, blah, blah. Blessed. All right, so they're called by Bible teachers the Beatitudes, and some have made it a contemporary statement and said the beautiful attitudes, because it's really about attitude. All life is attitude. That's all it is. So these are the beautiful attitudes. So if they're beautiful attitudes, then there must be miserable attitudes. And how many of you have miserable attitudes? There you go. Thank God you're honest, so you're not paying any attention to me. But it's okay. We develop miserable attitudes because we hang around miserable people. Attitudes are not something that you just do on your own. You are miserable because you're around miserable people. So if you raised your hand to be honest enough to say that I have a miserable attitude, all I can say to you is look at the people you associate with. Amen. Get them out your boat. They're causing the boat to sink. And he talks about turning the other cheek, and he talks about going the extra mile, and he talks about your reactions and responses to your fellow man. So you and I that are children of the kingdom, we do not seek retribution, nor do we seek vengeance. Vengeance belongs to God. Well, hold on, Bishop. There's some folk who did some stuff to me. There's some folk who did something to all of us. All right? But you can't go around carrying that grudge because you were not equipped for grudge carrying. No human being is equipped for grudge carrying. So just tell the person next to you, I forgive you. Amen. Tell the person on the other side, I forgive you. You say, why am I saying that? Because before this service is over, they will have done something to upset you. That's just the nature of it. You go someplace and somebody sits next to you. They sit there too wide, you know, in the seating area. They extend their feet over. They do something that just snatches the whole thing from you. So since you can't skip a seat, you stuck there now because you don't want to give the impression that, you know, you're bougie. So just tell them I forgive you. All right. Now, Jesus connects those two things, interpersonal relationships and actions and forgiveness. He puts all these together, and then he brings you down to verse 33 of chapter 6 after he teaches the faith principle. The faith principle is a small component of this great sermon. It only starts around verse 24, and then it goes down to verse 32, and it's dynamic, but it's small. It's innocuous. It kind of sits off to the side. It doesn't jump out at you as Turn Any Other Cheek does. Turn Any Other Cheek jumps out at you. It infuriates you. It challenges your cultural upbringings. It frustrates you because you don't know how to do it. It challenges everything about your ghetto, about your hood, everything, because we don't turn the other cheek. So we can't get past that to grasp the faith principle. The faith principle is not theological. It's almost insulting. Look at birds. Look at flowers. They're not worrying. Why are you? That's basically what he says. Just takes a long time to say it because Jesus loved talking. Then when he's done, he says, find out how the kingdom works. And he says, this ought to be your first challenge. Verse 33, seek first. Now, when you look at this, you say, okay, I'm seeking the kingdom, because we perverted the verb to seek into a 21st century standard. I'm looking. That's not what it means. In the Greek, it means find out how it works. The word means to find out how it works. How does the kingdom work? So I'm contemplating this. God is talking to me about this to bring to you today. And I said to the Father, I said, I don't understand something. I've been preaching this for years and years and years and years. And I said, now, what are you saying to me? And he began to talk, because he knows I ask questions, because it's just my upbringing. I'm the curious one of my siblings, and I'm the one that likes to find out how stuff works. I used to pull butterflies apart to find out how they work. I would catch light bulbs, lightning bugs. I would squash them to see how the stuff worked, because I need to know how it works. And God says, seek first the kingdom. I said, Lord, I got to grasp this. What are you saying? He said, have you ever sought to find out how anything works? And of course, for me, yes. He says, well, what do you do? I said, I dig into it. I don't just look at it on the surface. I dig into it because I don't take people for what they say. I said, I dig it. And so God says, then I'm telling you, don't just take me for what I say. Try me. Dig into it. And he takes me back to Malachi, where he invites us to try him. So many of us struggle with the concept of faith because you have no proof. Every scientist proposes a theory. Every scientist proposes a theory. And then they go to work to prove the theory. Most of you in here say, I believe God, but you've never proven it. And when he tries to get you to prove it, you respond in the natural, which is shut down, and say, I can't do it. Today, I'm going to stir some folk, anger some folk, release some folk, heal some folk, and get some people saved. And then you're going to ask me to go away next Sunday. Well, watch this. Watch now. Watch. Jesus said, seek first how the kingdom works, all right, how God's kingdom works. Now, listen to this. First, you find out the mechanics, and then you find out about the mechanic. See how the kingdom works, and then seek his righteousness, which is really, he's really saying, find out how it works, and then get to know him, because then you'll know that you can't work it without him. Now, throughout the scriptures, this is what God does. I don't normally preach like this at 11:30. But y'all don't normally get the exegetical part of me. You usually get the All right, but watch this. I love you. I'm gonna move you on now. So here's what God is saying. You get saved. We got it wrong in church. We get you saved and take you upstairs to a room where we tell you what you've done. when we ought to take you to that room and tell you what to seek. We ought to take you to that room and say, you've just been born in the kingdom of God, and this is what you ought to leave this room looking for. Now, some of you are going to argue with me and say, well, hold it, Pastor, because they've just been saved. They don't even know what they need. Well, they'll never know until they get to know the architect. All right, I'm going back to David and Goliath. I'll save this for the 7:30 people. Watch now. Jesus says, if you notice this passage, I got to do it this way. Thank you, Lord. No man can serve two masters, verse 24. You will hate one, love the other, cling to one and despise the other. You can't, listen to this, you can't serve God and money. That's what mammon means. Mammon was the god of money. You can't serve God and money. Do you hear what he said? Isn't it amazing that Jesus puts money next to God? In that verse, Jesus has just told you the heads of both kingdoms. In that verse, he has told you who runs both kingdoms. This kingdom is run by money. That kingdom is run by God. If you're smart, you'll go to this kingdom because God has money. But this kingdom has money, but don't have God. So you come to God, but you're still holding on to this kingdom. Because this kingdom has the money. Money, 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 money. But this kingdom has gotten, and here's what we've done. We have tried to bring the emotional response to the money of this kingdom over here to God, so we can't see God until we feel something. And so we're limited in our move in this kingdom because we don't feel it. We don't rationalize it. We don't understand it. So we declare this kingdom. Watch. I'm in this kingdom. Now I'm just going to use this as an example. I'm in this kingdom. And the scripture says, give, and it shall be given. I'm in this kingdom. But when I say I can't do it, then I'm back in this kingdom because I'm making my determination by the limitation of this. In other words, I'm calling him a liar. You're asking me to give you something I can't give you. God says, no, I'm not. What you're doing is you're looking at things from that kingdom. Now, the reason why you're not experiencing the financial breakthrough that you need is because you're living by the rules of that kingdom.
For a copy of the message you just heard in its entirety, call 215-885-2585. And when ordering, request ID number
09116P.
Today's message is available on CD for $9 and DVD for $16. The Climbing Higher TV broadcast can be seen on WBPH TV 60, Monday through Friday at 7:30 a.m. To attend Bethel Sunday services, join us at 2929 West Sheltenham Avenue at 7:30 a.m., 11:30 a.m., and 6 p.m., with prayer and Bible study being held every Wednesday beginning at 7 p.m. For more information, visit us on the web at www.betheldeliverance.org. Thank you for tuning in to the Climbing Higher broadcast with Bishop Eric A. Lambert, Jr. of Bethel Deliverance International Church, a place where miracles still happen.
Bethel Deliverance International Church is now live streaming. Tune in and experience live worship with us through the Bethel app, Facebook, and BethelDeliverance.org. It's all happening Sundays at 8:15 a.m. and 12:15 p.m. Your worship experience is just one click away.